Kyle, you're a world traveler. Have you ever been to Poland?
I haven't, but this film definitely made me feel like I have. It's been the 1700s.
Yeah, we kind of were like transported into Poland 1700, except I would hope there's more than one like voice in Poland, right? Because now it's just we just have the Schuller voice. Schuller.
And there was no plagues anytime I've been in Europe, so I'm thankful for that.
Yet. I mean, you may
I caused the next one.
We were thinking the same thing there.
Iggy Pop! Amen. Let it rock! I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Truman Capote.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun.
Tommy, how's the paper?
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up! Hi again and welcome to this edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. As always, I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, we're always ready to talk great movies.
This week we're coming from a new home, my new home in Hoboken, New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. It is a place of Italian and Irish descent for the most part. This film, we've got some other European entanglements going on.
Yes, and it's not Frank Sinatra. Hoboken, right? The home of Frank Sinatra. Well, at one point, obviously.
At one point.
I don't know if he's
no longer
here.
He's passed.
But he could be buried here, I'm not sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think there's a cemetery in town.
But this film, I don't think there was ever a Polish community here, but this film is of... it's a Polish story.
We should have, like...
I only know Polish jokes, not Polish stories.
We should have, like, recorded in Brooklyn or something.
And Wallington, New Jersey.
Or Wallington, New Jersey.
The Polish community.
Garfield, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're next to each other. So
okay.
Regardless, yes, we are talking about a film that you've definitely never heard of.
No, I'd still... Please tell me how to pronounce this. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Well, I know how to pronounce it because at the beginning of the film, it just says it.
Yeah, but I've already, like... It says it.
It's Schuller.
Schuller.
Schuller is the name of the film.
All right, people. Let's just, like, get off and get started right away and just say that we watched this full film, but on a random website, and the whole time you can kind of hear... Brian says he heard about 60%. I would say the opposite. I heard kind of like 40%, 60 didn't really hear. But there's a guy's voice, and that's in Polish or Russian dub?
I'm not sure. I think it's a Polish website, so I'm pretty sure it's Polish. Yeah. Well, a little background here. This film is incredibly hard to find. If we thought Joey Breaker was hard to find, this one's impossible.
Yeah.
There's almost no reviews on it, nothing on Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that.
And we've been trying from the beginning, because we did our research before this podcast, and we like saw, we were like, what the heck is this thing?
The only two things, Kyle, you research are women and films.
This is food.
Oh, food too. Travel. Yeah. I guess you are a well-researched man.
Music. Older music.
Yeah, I don't know if you research that as much as you just like listen to it.
Sure. Anyway.
Regardless, I mean, you did your due diligence. I did my due diligence.
Yeah.
We looked high and low to find where this. Where we could see this film.
Without going to like a film like arc. Archive, like, I don't know, in like DC or something. I have no idea.
I don't know why this film.
Anyway. Yeah,
this film was never released in the United States.
Yeah.
It's something that we've read a lot of, like, other people's scholarship and lists of Philip Seymour Hoffman films, and they always put a little, like, disclaimer, like, oh, you know, we could not track down Schuller, or like, oh, we didn't bother to track down Schuller, or they just skip it entirely.
So one article you found, the most they saw two scenes or something like that? Is that right?
Yeah, so actually that comes from a book.
And, okay.
I mean, who wrote this book? It's one of the... Oh, Peter Shelley. And I didn't buy the book because, honestly, it didn't get too many positive reviews on Amazon. It seemed like one of these, like, compilation books.
All right.
Like, not, like we could read it all on Wikipedia.
Sure.
It's called Philip Seymour Hoffman, The Life and Work, and you can just read it for free on Google.
Okay. There you go, people.
Yeah, and there's some information there, but even the guy who did this book, who supposedly researched, only saw a couple scenes on YouTube.
Yeah.
And
which you can find some pretty weird. There's this one scene that we first found on YouTube. a guy walks in, like, walking in like a horse with a topless woman on
it. Yeah, and you see that film in the scene. It's just like, that was our first.
Yeah, that was our first, yeah.
That scene.
Which, hey, I got excited. But it's an interesting film from what I understood of it. But it's also, is this definitive or is this still kind of...
Well, it seems like, yeah. Okay, so some more background here. At least it definitely looks like it, but this is most likely the first film Philip Seymour Hoffman ever did.
It's either Triple Bogey or This, people.
He didn't really talk about it, you know, and we're doing it now, FYI, because it
Which
really
I'd be talking about this forever. If this was my first or second film, and they flew me to, like, Poland and lived there for this film.
Yeah,
because, people, he's in this for, like...
Yeah, he is a significant role in this. And this is, I think it... They said it was shot in 1991, so maybe Bogey was first, maybe not.
Yeah.
But it wasn't released till
94.
Till 94, yeah. March 10th, 1994. I guess they were working on it for that long. Well, it was actually released at a Polish film festival in 92.
Okay.
But it got its, like, wide Polish release, apparently, in 94.
But
it's
interesting.
And that's the date we'll count.
But they recorded it that everyone spoke English in it.
Yeah, that's
So it's not
weird.
A Polish... film okay. In the sense of that they're speaking...
Well, it's mostly Polish actors.
Yes.
It's a Polish director.
Yeah,
did
sure.
His name, I couldn't really pronounce. Drabinski, I think his last name is.
Adek Drabinski.
Yes,
you don't know Adek Drabinski, Brian? Jeez,
I wish
come
I was
on.
Good enough to know.
You didn't play enough Seen It.
No,
I that
not.
Game?
I, my parents got me Polish Seen It. I'll be honest with you. I never opened it. It was one of those gifts where it just still has a shrink wrap in my apartment.
Yeah.
But I'll crack into it tonight if you'd like.
I just know pierogies. That's all.
The only Polish thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it was, I guess, a film that was... It's Polish, like you said. It's definitely a Polish director. Most of the actors are Polish.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's shot in English.
Yeah. Every, like, so I think Philip Seymour Hoffman is the only English, like... Or American
I don't
actor
know. None of
it.
The actors really had, like, pages, so it's possible.
Yeah. People, really. Like, I just go out there and prove us wrong or find us more information, but it's just not out there, which I'm surprised. Again, I'm surprised by because since it's interesting and, like, well-made enough that I would think he would have spoken about it or someone would have asked him about it and then he would have spoken about it. I don't know.
Some of the, like, background information I got from this film, I translated from Polish websites of articles that came out after he died.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That they all bragged, like, did you know that Philip Seymour Hoffman's first film was a Polish film?
Okay.
But there's a quote from the director in this one article, and I want to credit
Postmortem bragging. Never been a fan.
I want to credit this website. It's tvn24.pl, so .like Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And the director is quoted, and it says, again, this is a rough translation, so I'm not sure. He says, I hired him without second thought. He had behind him no acting experience, but some courses and a lot of desire. But I felt that he was in the middle of being a great actor. So,
hey,
I mean, this guy early on sees...
Maybe a lot of casting directors are Polish. Maybe they have good...
I don't know, but, I mean, this guy possibly could be credited with someone who, like, discovered Philip Seymour Hoffman before anything. Not that he, you know, this is clearly not the role that, like, makes him famous or anything. Like,
no,
like,
no,
clearly.
No.
Since it's, like, been... This
and I'm assuming
buried.
He, like, was never able to, like, include it in his reel. So this guy, again, I'm pretty sure, I'm gonna say Triple Bogey. I want to keep it American in New York as his first film. But definitely, if he was shooting this... Or in 91, or it came out in Poland in 91, and that's when, you know, Triple Bogey came out. He clearly didn't have, like, any footage from his reel yet, you know.
No,
from
no,
that.
Definitely not.
And that wasn't even actors, even back then, like, reels weren't as, like, intense as they are now.
No, I mean, and it says in the article as well that there was a New York casting, and that he just cold auditioned, and he was hired from that. And they flew him to Poland. And
that's crazy.
There's in one article, a Polish article, said that he had a lot of interest in Polish history, and that's why he took it. I doubt it. He was like a young kid, and they paying him flying him to Poland. But that's what they're bragging about in Poland, so I don't know. And then I feel like maybe this is the most arrogant statement I'll ever say, but I feel like we're making history here by the fact that we're watching and reviewing this film, because I cannot find anyone else who reviewed this film. Again, guys, challenge us.
Yeah. Please, you heard it here, though. Making history. That's what the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast does.
Yep, that's what it's all about.
Especially, that's why, you know what? There's no guests this week. It's just Brian and I.
No.
You know?
We wanted to take all the credit for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we did actually put an inquiry for Polish-speaking people. We didn't get too many because, like Kyle said, so I randomly found this website after just searching and searching and searching on Google to try to find a place to see this film. It seems like it's a Polish website. Like, the words are in Polish. At least that's what the Google tells me. And, I mean, it plays the full movie. But like you said, Kyle, there's just this voice and
One voice.
Usually, male voice. Usually when you see a dub, and even if it's just, like, the tone's different, like...
Yeah.
Like, el huésped, ustedes. Sí, claro que sí.
It's like, exactly. It's in the same vein as, like, you almost expect that it's, like, narration, but he's saying every line.
And, you know, like, obviously I don't speak Polish, but there's certain words in every language that are cognates. And you can tell that he's just repeating the lines that are just said in the film. So you could hear the lines at a lower volume. You got to really be paying attention.
Well, especially the beginning lines of someone, like, making a statement. When they're not talking and someone begins to talk, you hear, like, a solid sentence. But then if you have that overlap of characters talking to one another, it's there. So maybe if you have, like, really good headphones and you're really paying attention.
Which it's hard to at times.
Which it's very hard to. But some ears might be better trained than others. But point being, like, I would say it ranges from, like, someone that's paying attention, I would say it ranges from, like, a 40 to at most, like, 70% you're going to, like, hear of them speaking in English.
Yeah, some without this narrator,
it would be like, I wish maybe someone out there. I bet, like, I don't know enough about audio, but I would love for someone to get their hands on this link, like rip this video, and then there must be someone out there that could. I know it's all mixed into one track, but I'm sure there's someone out there that could, like. Because this guy spoke in a very monotone, blah, 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 blah. And so someone could probably take that out, and I would love to watch this film again.
We might have a Schuller Revisited if we get a hero in the audience to save us, or someone who has, like, a copy of this, or, like, a Polish aunt who just happens to have, because, again, like you said, it's shot in English. They speak English.
Yeah.
So it's funny because he doesn't even have, like, an accent usually in these, like, costume dramas.
All right, well, this gives me a good reason to go to Poland this summer. I'm going to scour the Polish countryside.
Just for this film.
Yeah, just find, like, a copy somewhere.
So, Kyle, give our audience a little bit of a synopsis, or at least try. I mean, I know we looked at IMDb and we looked at some other sources, and we could see some semblance of a plot, but we were confused while watching.
Well, let's begin by just saying Schuller... translated means cheat.
Cheat, yes. Some sites call this film cheat.
So let's call this film cheat. For audiences to understand it a little better. Schuller set in
Or cheat.
Yeah, I'm just betraying myself right away. Schuller or cheat set in 1750 Poland. During a ravaged state following a plague, we meet Victor and Rudolf. Inseparable friends for years, we see they enjoy life, but there's something more to Rudolf. When a brother and sister enter the lives of Victor and Rudolf, things begin to unravel.
Indeed they do. To a point of confusion.
So, I mean, I would say there was, like... I think even if I watched this film with... out, like, the monotone single Polish man dub or whatever, I would have been confused about a couple of things. But I like the overall style and the story. Number one, it feels very Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah, I'd say the both of us are not experts in costume dramas and stuff like
no
that. You know, we don't,
but this it has a very not nearly as stylized, don't get me wrong. But it's got, like, a Barry Lyndon period piece vibe, obviously. And then a little bit of, like, not nearly as dramatic and over the top, but Eyes Wide Shut. Just because these people, Victor and Rudolf, love this life of gambling and brothels and just, you know, very aristocratic life. And so that, to me, was very and orgies and everything like that. We see a couple of orgies, you know, not made of importance, but we see them in the film, and that just reminds me of orgies. I think Eyes Wide Shut and Caligula. That's the last
Caligula.
One.
Yeah, I could see that.
And that's the last one. So
there's this other film it reminded me of. And I'm gonna look now and try to get the name. It's this like really crappy Ewan McGregor film that was on Netflix that I actually watched with Jenny once, or we watched it and talked about.
Jenny O'Connell, who was our last guest,
our previous episode.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get the name. It was just like so bad.
Trainspotting.
No, it's not Trainspotting. Ewan McGregor was a landscape designer. A landscape designer, like, during this era.
Okay.
Like, that's what the movie... But he was actually a fraud. I can't find the movie, but regardless, it... Oh, The Serpent's Kiss. That's what it's called.
The Serpent's Kiss?
It was pretty bad. regardless. Yeah, it's these... I mean, this, like... My mother used to watch these movies growing up. Not necessarily this movie, obviously.
Okay.
But just... costume dramas. Keira Knightley, I feel like, is in a lot of them.
Okay.
She's considered a corset queen. That's like the slang of it. But those are usually of higher quality. Like, maybe it was the version we were watching. It was like a gritty film version, even on the internet.
It seemed, yeah, it was like VHS copy.
Yeah, that someone from
full frame ripped VHS with the monotone.
So we're going to do our best...
to inform you people.
Yes, to...
the plot.
You're probably not going to see this movie, and we're going to do our best to walk you through this film, or at least what we thought of this film. Kyle and I saw this one separately, so I think between what I got...
I got a ton of questions.
And between what he got, maybe we can answer our questions, and kind of have a semblance of a film here.
Maybe it'll match up that the 40% I got with the 40% you didn't.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Okay, so we start out right... and it's like, what? Like, it's a card game in a casino, right?
Well, it starts with a flashback.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even.
Yeah. So we see like an older Victor.
Victor, yeah, and he gets a letter, and he's like really disappointed.
Yeah, and so then we get to this card game. So right away, this is.
Well, letter's from what's her name, right? Teresa. It's like, dear Teresa.
Yeah.
Someone we have to remember for later.
Exactly. I think I put towards the end, I'm like, who's Teresa again?
Yeah, oh, I did the same thing. Yeah. So, okay, so he gets this letter from Teresa, and he's disappointed by it.
And so then we go back to this card game. So this is where, like, this is the... cheat definitely has, like, a couple of meanings, but it helps that the poster for this movie has, like, is, like, a card.
Yeah.
So it's very much about, right away, we see Victor, and like I said, that... they're into, him and Rudolph are into casinos and stuff like that. And Victor is talented, but he also does cheat at card games.
Yeah. Wait, but, okay, so they're in this casino, right?
Yeah.
And he beats this, like, fat man.
Yeah.
Who's also some kind of noble.
Yeah, he
admits that he cheats to him, like, right away.
Well, he says, like, if he wins, you know, like, you know, if the fat guy wins, he wins, like, the game or whatever, but then if he wins, he gets to shoot him.
Yeah. Yeah, so first, the fat guy gets in, like, big debt to Victor.
Yeah.
Then it's like a double or nothing, like, if you win your money back, if you lose, I get to kill you.
Yeah, and then he even gives him his gun, but the gun's not loaded.
Yeah.
Remind you people, it's the 1700s, so it's, like, single shot, you know, like, crazy pistols or whatever.
Yeah.
But... this guy is just completely embarrassed and says to Victor, like, you'll pay for this, like...
Yeah, his girlfriend even, like, the guy's girlfriend, the fat guy's girlfriend, right? He's like, she's like all... like, she doesn't like even care if he dies, I think.
No. She's clearly a gold digger.
So on the way home, it's Victor and then his friend Rudy, right?
Yeah.
And this blonde guy.
Yeah, Rudy's like the pretty boy. So I read like a little something that gave me more insight. And supposedly, Rudy is... two Rudys back to back also. There was a Rudy in Getaway last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Madsen's character. But this is nothing like Michael Madsen. I would love to see Michael Madsen in this movie.
If we had three Michael Madsens in a row, oh my god, what's going on?
That's like, what do you call that? In bowling, three strikes in a row is a turkey.
It's like a
three Madsens
it would be
in a
Madsen
row.
Podcast.
Yeah, but
I prefer a Virginia Madsen podcast.
But like supposedly Rudy is of natural born like high.
Yeah, aristocracy.
Aristocracy, and Victor has gotten there through like becoming friends with Rudy, and then through his very talented ways of gambling.
Yeah, through money, right?
And that's just something. Again, not that maybe if I was able to hear all the dialogue, I would have picked up on that, but that was something I read.
So on the way home from this casino, they pass these like plague victims, which is just foreshadowing things in the end. And only 7 minutes in, we see Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Do you know anything of like that era? You took, I mean. To remind you people, we went to high school together. I know Brian took European...
So what are you asking if I...
Do you know, like, is this a true story? is this historically accurate, Brian? Is this a very...
I don't know.
Do we know in Poland that there was...
Poland of that era, but it seems pretty accurate in terms of...
So we should call it Mr. Ortiz?
What? No. That, no, it seems pretty... There were plagues that ravaged up until the 1700s-1800s. Okay. This is not something... That, I mean, even further, but even in Europe. No, this is, like, realistic. This isn't the same plague that was, like, during medieval times.
No, I get it, yeah. They couldn't go to a CVS.
No, exactly. So we see Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's really baby-faced. He's young, right?
Yeah.
First, you think he's, like, a stable boy slash, like, cart driver?
Yeah, he's just, like, an all-around, like... helper to the estate of Victor, I guess, right?
Yeah, so there's this, like, girl who's just sleeping in a stable.
Yeah, and he kind of comes up to her and he's just, like, teasing her. And then they get to have sex and hey.
But before that, it's, like, a pivotal scene. Kind of, right?
Look where my mind's going to.
But he grabs her, and then he lifts her above a window, and he sees, like, basically... They see, like, an orgy happening with... Victor.
Oh, so yeah, the orgy turned them on.
Yeah, I guess that was his plan, right?
Yeah.
It's like Victor, Rudy, and just a bunch of, like, rando girls.
Yeah, he's describing to her, like, Victor, right? Like, oh, he's a great guy or something like that.
Rudy, not so much.
Yeah.
Zongo, piękny Rudy.
Pretty Rudy. He's strange.
Dziwny człowiek.
He's strange.
Powiadają, że czytuje książki, uwielbia muzykę i że jest mordercą. Zabił człowieka. Nie wiem, czemu hrabia tak się z nim przyjaźni.
PSH is giving us a little bit of
like
character
exposition. I'm pretty sure Rudy killed somebody once.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my. And then she runs away, he chases her into the stable, and we get our first Philip Seymour Hoffman sex scene.
As they say in Young Frankenstein, a nice roll in the hay.
Yes, and they literally have a roll in the hay.
Yeah.
It's weird, because he sinks in or she sinks in? Like,
it's like first her, but then he sinks in, because then it's just like she's on top.
So this is a pretty erotic film in terms
of European people.
Yeah, there's a lot of toplessness. There's a lot of... nudity and sex scenes. When we see her later.
Yeah, I think she's still actually this actress. I don't have her name. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it for you, ladies and gentlemen, even
Eva
if I had
something.
Written it down. But yeah, but she's still performing out there. I've seen like an updated picture of her on Google. Like even people did like mashups of her and Philip Seymour Hoffman. They were the same age.
Yeah, and she I read that too. She actually went on to have a successful career in Polish cinema.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for her.
So, yeah.
We have no idea, by the way, if this movie was a success in Poland or it was just like a small little indie.
Zero information.
We have no context. So, again, if you have any information.
Nothing on IMDb, nothing on Wikipedia.
This film is like on the side of the milk carton, like missing. Like, just please, if you have any information, contact us. So the next morning is the scene you were describing, right?
Yeah.
Where they
the
wake
first
up
scene
like,
we found online.
Yeah, they wake up like hungover, like in a room, right? Or
yeah. So I thought Victor is in this room, and this was, again, this was like the first scene when we were like, what is this film? And we found this on YouTube or whatever. I thought Victor and Rudy were going to be like a gay couple.
Yeah, it seems very homoerotic, but I think they're just close.
Yeah, it's just like
I'm not
that
sure.
Extreme.
They do like kiss kind of a lot, or not kiss, but it's not just a lot, but like, you know, they're just affectionate with each other. But
Rudy more so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, I think, you know, he kind of reminds me of, not like exactly.
Don't say me.
No, not you.
I thought you meant our relationship is kind of like that.
No.
It's the feathers on each other.
The Viper from Game of Thrones. He just seems like someone, when you have that level of wealth,
Oberyn
it's just
Martell.
Like, yeah, yeah, that you just get to that level of like,
in the same way,
I just
want
to enjoy everything in life.
Yeah, they're hedonistic.
Yeah, good. Well, that's a word I am not like, you know, is in my normal vocabulary. So
both, yeah, just about the pleasure. The pleasures of the flesh and the body and all that.
Yeah,
kind of
just
stuff. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Every aspect of life. And
because they're kind of cuddling in this scene,
so
too. But like,
it's Victor's birthday? Is that what it is?
I don't know if it's really his birthday.
It's just, again, when you're rich and you just give gifts to people.
But he says happy birthday, but I don't know, because Victor then, like, laughs, so I'm not sure, like, oh.
Yeah, I've been in a restaurant with friends, and we tell the waiters that it's a birthday
could be
to get
like
someone
that
to sing a song.
So he brings him, like, a gift of, like, a horse, a woman on a horse.
Yeah, and this guy's, like, walking in the horse.
And then they, like,
and she's topless on it.
Yeah, she's topless on it. And then they just start complimenting the horse and laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful topless woman comes in on a horse. And
what
then
was
the
next scene? Like, the cuts in the next scene? Victor is riding the horse, and then he falls off the horse?
Yeah, so you're saying it's a weird cut, right?
It's a weird cut.
I wrote that too.
Pushed.
Okay, so I wasn't sure if I was going to say this now or later, like when the when we start got to like the ending of the film. I don't have the time written down, but point being, the version we saw, it's supposedly 17, just from looking on IMDb, I think that one of the few pieces of information is how long this film is supposed to be, maybe on the Polish Wikipedia as well.
It was 70 minutes, yours?
The one I saw, no, I'm saying compared to the lengths that I read online, it was 17 minutes
shorter. Oh, 17.
Shorter.
I think it's 70.
No,
okay, so,
17 minutes
shorter.
Yeah,
the one we saw was an hour 50.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be a little over 2 hours.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's interesting.
So there's a couple of, like, this one in particular right now, there was, like, what, and again, we didn't watch it together, so we're saying that there was, like, this weird cut. Like, it just doesn't feel, it's a weird cut in general, just from one image to the next, but just in stylistic choice, and then also in story, you're like, I feel like something happened between those.
Well, he falls off the horse, right? And then we just see Philip Seymour Hoffman dragging his body into the house with another servant.
Well, Rudy makes him.
Yeah.
He whips the back of the horse. Again, it's this hedonistic.
But is he doing it on purpose?
Yeah, because he's a dick.
But is he, like, he wants him to fall off the horse?
I don't think he knows he's going to, like, he knows the horse is
going to
ride off.
I didn't know
if
this was part of his plan, you know.
No, I think he's a very spur of the moment. I want, like, you know, like, ooh, this is too he's, like, almost like a, like, what do they say in Fight Club? He's too beautiful. I must, like, destroy him. I must make him unbeautiful. Like, it's just, like, this nice moment that they're out. Like, he got his friend, a girl, to ride in to the house topless on a horse, and they're out on a nice horseback ride. And he's like, ah, this moment's too beautiful. Let me whip the back of the horse. And then the horse goes riding, and then Victor hits a tree branch and falls. And
so Philip Seymour Hoffman and another servant bring him into the home, and he's just, like, recovering there. You're not sure if he's going to live or die.
Yeah.
And then what's this young couple emerges?
It's, like, very attractive brother and sister.
Oh, yeah, the brother and sister.
Yeah. They come. I have no
idea.
They invited? I didn't get that.
No, I didn't either.
But they're important people.
We make reference to this guy a lot, and you people don't know him, but he'll be a guest on the podcast later, but guy kind of looked like John Harden to me.
He did!
Right?
And that's standard.
And it would be a role he would play, kind of, you know?
he did! I wasn't thinking about that.
Regardless, yeah, this brother and sister come in, and
They just stir things up. I don't know why.
He's like an inventor or something, the brother?
That's what he is? Because then all of a sudden this film also goes to like a technological...
Yeah, it gets like a
weird
sci-fi thing, but later, yeah. But whatever. this is a weird one, guys. Yeah, no, he's talking about his invention. And he always looks worried the whole time, the brother.
Oh, okay.
And the sister's very pretty.
Yeah, very pretty.
And hijinks ensue, I suppose.
Yeah,
okay, this is where I thought it was turning a gay... on a gay angle, too. He asks the... Rudy asks, while Victor's like hurt, asks the brother, who I don't get his name,
yeah,
to undress in front of him.
We'll just call him brother or sister.
Yeah. And he kind of undresses.
All I wrote during this whole part is most sensual soup eating I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. There's a soup eating scene.
There's a soup eating scene where, like,
filled with sexual
Rudy, Rudy pours some soup for everybody, and it's very, very sensual soup eating.
Yeah, that's that weird dinner, right?
Yeah.
And the next morning, Victor wakes up.
Yeah, cuts to like a carriage, and they're showing him around the grounds, and oh, okay.
Okay, I think we're gonna say the same thing here, but continue.
Most phallic, yes. Weird statue.
The phallus statue
of all time. Like clearly, like they make
I think so, right?
They say something like phallic and like that it's like this.
Basically, they have a big
giant
stone penis.
Yeah. Like, not like
sorry
definition.
If you're using that word, but yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just like a obelisk, but it's like.
As we sit here and we're looking at my Jaws painting, that Jaws poster, very phallic. This
but
stone.
That's supposed to be somewhat subtle, you know? This sure. One's like. Then they like laugh about
and
it.
And then a guy's cleaning it and the soap suds are dripping down it.
Yes.
And, like, again, we won't get like more graphic than that, but people just soap suds dripping down a long hard rock. And and they're just cutting to this girl and she's just like really like reasonably
the
so
sister.
Yeah, the sister. They're cutting to her like reaction. She's just like incredibly turned off as anyone. I was incredibly turned off.
So then they hang out with this young couple and the guy's just not dancing. He still looks nervous. And there's just little scenes with them, right? And then they play strip poker at one point. And this is... Victor's up, but he hasn't, like...
No, he hasn't, like, told Rudy...
to them. Yeah, he's just,
so
like,
this
kinda,
is
like,
a part that, like, again...
around.
Like, as, you know, many confusing parts there were, I'm just like, does he think and know that, like, Rudy wanted to do something so he's not making it, like... aware to him that, like...
I'm not sure, I don't know.
You know, like, oh, I'm up and about, I'm actually okay, or whatever.
I just know that they play strip poker, and then he emerges.
Yeah.
So we also find out that the house is in serious debt.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of lends to part of the plot later.
Again, because he's not, I guess, that would be the part that, like, if we could hear everything, we probably would have heard a little bit more, like, since he's not wealthy from natural birth.
Yeah.
I guess the gambling money has run out. Since he maybe hasn't, I don't know how long he's been in bed for after the head injury, but I guess maybe he gambles once a week or something, make some money. It's like online poker or something.
And then we get another Philip Seymour Hoffman sex scene.
Actually. Yeah, but is this the, you know, since we're like definitely on different like points or whatever as far as getting, is this the one where Rudy's making the girl whip him? Or is that later?
Philip Seymour Hoffman's there?
Philip Seymour Hoffman at one point, Rudy is making a girl, like, sexually whip Philip Seymour Hoffman.
This
like, oh, stop it!
This is the time... Oh, maybe. I think he might have come in. This is the time he's watching? Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right. This is the time that happens.
So they're having sex, and Rudy
is
being...
This is a weird, like, broom game, right? It's a weird, like, erotic broom game that Philip Seymour Hoffman's playing with the same girl he slept with before.
Yeah, and Rudy's being very voyeuristic, and then, obviously, since he's, like... Since Victor's been, you know, in bed, he's, like, the master of this household. I'm sure Victor would have, like, let him call shots anyway. People respected him. But since Rudy's, like, this sadistic master now, he... I thought it was going to go even, like, crazier, but it's just, like, he just wants these little pleasures. He's just like, I just want to see a beautiful naked woman whip this guy right now. But not, like, crazy. Like, Phil Smirnoff was still, like, joking, stop it! Stop! Like, it never got, like, him screaming.
Yeah.
But just a weird scene. And then time passes, right?
Yeah, I guess everything's accepted and okay, and this is the new lifestyle.
I think this is maybe part of our missing 17 minutes or something.
But then they go to this other casino, right? Mm-hmm. There's like fireworks, and this is going to be like a huge gambling night.
Yeah.
So this is where things get a little odd with the brother, right? Like, they're having a gambling night. Victor's gambling, but is it Rudy who makes the brother play, or Victor who makes the brother play, like, gamble a little bit?
It's Rudy. Rudy has him.
Yeah.
This brother that, I don't, like, we're just back, you know, it feels like the kind of the beginning scene of the film. They're just at this casino, and Rudy is pressuring the brother, and Victor wants, like, nothing. Versus Victor didn't mind taunting in the beginning to that fat guy, but now Victor's just like, no, I want nothing to do with this young man, and, like, teasing him and taking his money.
Yeah.
And that's then, all I got from that.
But then there's the death, right?
Well, then he actually ends up shooting him in the head.
By accident.
I guess he doesn't think he's loaded.
Yeah, because the trick was from the earlier scene.
Yeah.
So in the earlier scene that we described, like, with the fat guy, he says he's going to shoot him and he has no bullet. This time, Rudy hands him the gun. Victor shoots the young brother.
Yeah.
In the head, and he actually kills him. Mm-hmm. There wasn't supposed to be a bullet in there, so Rudy kind of put a bullet in there.
Yeah, Rudy finally goes off, like, the deep end, I guess, is his moment.
I don't get why.
Yeah.
So if you haven't figured it out, we do get confused at certain points. Yeah, basically, he's like, oh my god, what the hell have I done?
Mm-hmm.
They dispose of the body, and they kind of just move on. And some time has passed again, right?
After this,
like, years have passed.
Who did die during this part that Victor goes to an estate that belongs to somebody? What was that?
Well, the next scene, he's in jail, right? He's in jail for the murder of the brother.
Yeah.
But only for a couple years? I don't know Polish law at the time.
Yeah.
Then he goes back to his estate.
Okay.
And he's bankrupt. Philip Zimmer Hoffman tells him, like, he's the only one who stayed. All the servants left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Rudy basically...
Yeah, because his girl's name I actually wrote down. It was Biedka.
Biedka, yeah. I heard them say
that. She left with the cook.
Yeah, so Biedka left with the cook.
I guess in that times, you know, the cook carried some weight to them. So, you know, like, you know you're always going to get fed, which is important. True. You know.
So Philip Zimmer Hoffman basically is the only one who stayed at the estate. Good for him.
Good for him.
And
that's how you stay in the movie, stay at the estate.
It shows that Rudy basically bankrupted him, took all his money, and went somewhere else.
Bastard. So this is where I start really, in particular, started finding, like, the Count of Monte Cristo vibe. Like, there was a jail.
Yeah, so it seems like a setup, right? It seems like a setup from Rudy to try to take his money. But they're close friends, so...
I guess he just went like, this is enough. I'm, you know, like, I need someone new.
And then they're visited, or there's a guy there who's, like, another scientist.
Yeah, this is where it gets sci-fi.
It turns a little sci-fi. And
so this is, like, 1750,
Did he invent photography?
Photography didn't come, like...
Well, not this kind of photography, no, you know, like... No, definitely not in 1750s.
No!
Maybe 100 years later, there's that, like, early photography, like...
Yeah, the earliest photography is, yeah, like, just a little pre-Civil War. Like, I can't...
Look, I didn't look up the history of photography. I mean, I don't know when the first one was.
No, but just from, like, I know, like, obviously...
First of all, these are also color prints, let's be fair.
Yeah, on glass sheets.
Look, maybe someone's going to prove us wrong and be like, you're idiots. They've been doing this since the Stone Age.
No,
I don't know.
No.
But just, it seemed a little odd.
So this guy has an invention where you take...
This, like, random guy,
by
the
way. We never see the action of taking of pictures.
Well, we see it's like a it's like a camera kind of
machine.
No,
but we just never see him, like, we don't see the process of how he gets these things. But he has, like, a projector kind of set up. So also, again, 1750... like electricity, like power or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And he has these glass sheets, like it's like the size of, like, a sheet of paper, but it's a piece of glass, and you hold it in front, and you see, like, a crystal clear picture of a person, but then because of, I guess, the heat from the lamp or whatever it is, it then goes away. So, I mean, I love it in the sense of, like, it's this haunting thing where you can only, like... You know, hey, we take it for granted just even from, like, mirrors. Think about, like, worlds that, like, people didn't see their reflections every day, yet alone pictures. And then this is, like, a thing where there's a picture and you briefly get to see people when they were younger or when they were still alive. And
yeah,
then
yeah, let's and be then clear. It doesn't take pictures of, like, a camera. It just shows a picture of something from the past, we presume, right?
Yeah.
So after we see this invention, right, Victor kind of wants to find out, like, where Rudy is and, like, be mm-hmm. like, what the hell? What the hell did you do to me, bro? Like, this sucks. And then what happens next? They're just like, what do you have that happens next?
I put Dude Breaks bottle over Victor's head.
Yeah. But then, right, when do we get to this surreal place?
What's the surreal place?
That Philip Seymour Hoffman takes him on and they're like outside. It's like this abandoned castle with the
blonde
guy.
Yeah.
They go on this weird adventure. Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, drives the carriage. Yeah. And they go to this weird, ruined
area.
Castle or just like ruined area. Yeah. And there's just a blonde mustache man there.
Yeah, we meet this new character and we'll just call him Blonde Mustache Man. And then we find out, I'm like, oh, this is what the film's about. And it's the fat guy from the beginning.
Yeah, the fat guy returns, and this is all like a ruse, or it looks like a ruse.
Yeah, and so, you know, since like we can't hear all the dialogue at this moment, like, this is what the film's about. This is the guy from the beginning that said to Victor, you're going to pay, like, you've embarrassed me, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I can get down with this. But then, nope, he's, like, puppeted by Rudy. And then the blonde mustache guy is like Rudy's like henchman and ends up
killing
the fat guy.
This is similar to like The Prestige or like a Christopher Nolan thing where they want to be like 6 or 7 steps ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like has Rudy been planning this the entire time, even with the fat guy?
I think this is some parts of the missing 17 minutes.
It's possible, or it's possible it's just like above. You know, it's just something that's, like, we're supposed to get. Like, it's supposed to be, like, an intellectual thing, like, a mind game that's being played.
I get that, but just from, like, a film standpoint, then, like, that's not, it's not clever, or it's just not good.
But I don't want to chalk everything up to, like, the missing 17 minutes. It's possible that the film is just not good.
Well, okay, there's clearly missing footage, and then we're, again, listening, we're not hearing all the dialogue.
Fair, but it's still, just from, like, visually, there's something just wacky going on.
Okay.
Whatever, right? So, if you notice, Philip Seymour Hoffman is in this scene as well, and he's just, like, watching all this go down.
Yeah, from a distance, like, and just watching this, and then that blonde mustache guy breaks a bottle over Victor's head, and then Philip Seymour Hoffman, I just put, like, he kind of, like, helps Victor get his strength back.
Yeah, he's actually awesome in this film.
Yeah.
This is, not just saying this again, he's one of the people, again, maybe because we're drawn to him, but he's one of the people who steals the screen here.
I mean, again, from, like, the most that I could get from this film, I liked a lot of the performances. Like, the guy that plays Victor, I'm like, you know who he really reminded me of in some ways? Gonna totally blank on his name right now, but he's in the Mozart film. He plays the guy that in the like fictional film that like ends up killing Mozart.
Oh, and he's in Homeland. He's Scarface.
Scarface.
F. Murray Abraham.
Thank you. F. Murray Abraham. He was awesome in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh yeah. But you know, this is a film. I'm glad you brought like Amadeus up. This is a film that reminds me of Amadeus as well.
Yeah.
No, you're right. The performances aren't bad, but I do want to recognize a young Philip Seymour Hoffman being like out of his element and still like rocking it.
Young, like first or second on screen, like, you know, performance in a different country, like no one he knows, and he's just like doing incredibly well in this movie.
Yeah, for what he's given, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, Philip Seymour Hoffman nurses Victor back to health. And it's just more of this invention, right? We get back to the invention, and the guy, this weirdo guy, is just talking about it some more. Then we have this thing, right? Where he goes, he just starts looking for the blonde guy again.
Yeah. So I guess now he's, you know, like, oh, I couldn't find Rudy. Let me find this blonde guy.
Yeah,
since
and
he was in cahoots.
And he chased him to the church, and then he can't find him. And then he finds him, you know, like, it's this, like, mouse chase.
Yeah.
But before that, we see the mustache man go back to Rudy and tell Rudy that Victor is alive and he's looking for him.
And we see...
And then there's, like, this...
Rudy is, like, a little sick.
He's got the plague.
Yeah.
Rudy has the plague and he's still having orgies.
Yeah.
With other plague victims.
This part reminded me of, like, Philadelphia.
Come on.
No, it did. Like, they know they had, like...
But orgies are in Philadelphia. Is there an orgy scene that I'm forgetting?
Well, that's, like... No, but it's, like, when he, like, is remembering how he got AIDS.
Oh, okay. I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah.
Because he has lesions on him, and there's just, like...
Yeah, it's, like, if you combine...
Yeah.
Like, the
that's
end...
That's what I'm saying.
The end and the flashback in Philadelphia. But, yeah, so Rudy has these lesions, and he's having this weird orgy, and he doesn't seem too bothered by the fact that Victor is alive. I mean,
yeah.
maybe because he's close to death. But Victor finally tracks him down, like we said, and he's just, like, creeping on him, like, from a far tree with a telescope, and this child appears above him in a tree.
Yeah, and his name ends up being...
Yeah, he's like, I'm Rudy.
Rudy, yeah.
And...
Then the sister from the beginning, Camellia, I think I ended up writing her name down.
I didn't get her name. I didn't get her name.
Yeah. But Rudy married her.
Yeah, Rudy married her, and apparently, at this point, we believe that these are Rudy's kids, because
yeah.
his name Rudy, and she kind of explains
so
that
there's a son and a daughter.
Yeah, there's a son and a daughter. She explains that she married him, that when her brother died, she didn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wanted to be with Rudy because he was exhilarating. And then Victor asked, like, do you still love him? And she's like, I've never loved him.
Again, very Count of Monte Cristo, I think, kind of going on right now. And then, yeah, like, I mean, from there, it's, you've got the Victor.
Well, Victor sells his estate, supposedly, right?
He, like, sells his estate.
For gold. He's like, I want gold.
But him and Philipster and Hoffman go and confront the blonde guy. And guess who's there? It's, like, Bietke. And Philip Seymour Hoffman gets to, like, you know, tell her off because that was his, you know, girlfriend or just, like,
yeah.
fun hay party girl from the beginning.
And then they kill him,
right? They kill the...
Yeah, but did we skip the part with Teresa?
I just didn't know what was going on with that.
Okay, yeah, there's, like, a little back and forth, right? After he sells his estate...
Yeah.
He meets up with this Teresa, and we had the same question. Who the hell is Teresa?
Yeah, okay.
But then, that's the girl from the letter at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen her. Have we?
No, right?
And then, but they act like we know her. Like, oh, sorry I didn't communicate with you for a while.
Who was she in the film?
This is where I lost it. He moves in with Teresa until Martin, who's Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, comes back to him and says...
Martin.
He's like, you have to come back. The scientist has gone crazy. He's locked himself in his room. He's saying blasphemous things. And then, basically, he goes back, and it's written on his wall, or on, like, the glass sheets, like,
yeah,
there is no God, right?
Yeah.
And
anytime, and he killed himself.
And he goes into the room, and he's hanged himself. So it's like, oh my God, what the hell happened? And these glass plates that say there is no God are this photograph machine, which apparently plays... Some of them are stills from earlier in the film, it seems
yeah.
like. So the invention he invented was, you know, a DVD that rewinds this film and shows us previous things. But I guess
this film is just very, like, godlike complex, like, voyeuristic. Like...
I guess so, yeah. Voyeuristic, definitely. Voyeuristic, hedonistic... Like, moral versus...
Yeah.
Not immoral. But these photos show Victor... Well, did you get what was in the photos before I try to guess?
I'm honestly blanking right now.
This is, like, the crux of the film. These photos show Victor... With him... With a family... With Teresa... and those kids.
Yeah.
But then they show them younger, and it's the brother and sister and the kids, and, like, there's all this... And I'm lost at this point. I am lost at this point. I don't know what the hell's going
on. Yeah, there must have been, again, I'm not going to put it to missing footage or in another language. There's, like, a level to this film that I think even if it was in English and I got the full-length version, it'd probably be a multiple-viewing film.
I don't know, but...
It's European, ladies and gentlemen.
So...
Artistic.
The one thing we get from this, and I'm not sure how, I wish we could explain it to you guys, is that the kids that he met are actually his kids.
Count of Monte Cristo!
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But how are they his kids?
I have no idea.
So he gets all
pissed off.
Doesn't she,
like, go into his room at one point when he's knocked out from the horse?
Yeah, maybe. What, like, but, does, like, she, I don't know. Are they twins? The boy and the girl? They would have to be, right?
Yeah.
Regardless, they're his kids. Polish Luke and Leia. He gets pissed off, and this is when him and Philip Seymour Hoffman go, and this is the scene you describe. They go find the mustache man. They kill the mustache man.
And he says where Rudy is.
Yeah, he says where... Well, first he says they find where the kids are.
Yeah.
Then this is the last time we see Philip Seymour Hoffman, or no, we may see him later. But I know Philip Seymour Hoffman brings the kids home.
Yeah. He's given the duty of taking the kids from the one house.
And Rudy's just like on... Just to quote Archer, like, on a ramp... Not Rudy, sorry. Victor, at this point, to quote Archer, is on a rampage.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna fucking kill Rudy. Like, he just... So he ends up finding Rudy, and...
And Rudy is all covered by the plague.
Yeah, he's all covered by the plague. And he doesn't really care that he's gonna die, you know? No. He's just... And he's not even like, oh my god. And he kind of insinuates that he still, like, wants to be friends with Victor, which is kind of weird. He screwed him out with money. He took his kids. Look, I don't get it.
And then it comes down to
a duel. In a very Alexander Hamilton fashion, but with Victor being Aaron Burr.
Yes.
Rudy shoots in the air... But I think he knew he was going to die because he didn't seem like he cared. And Victor just turns around and just shoots him and kills him.
But then he goes up to him and Rudy kisses him.
Yes. Yes, a dying Rudy is walking, you know, towards him. Just full on, like, mouth to mouth, kisses him.
I'm like, is he going to get the plague?
Yeah. Like, I thought maybe that was, like, the thing. Like, he's like, haha, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the plague. Nope. Like, the next scene is Victor... Teresa and the kids just, like, frolicking through a meadow.
So not...
No, she died. The sister died.
Oh, yeah.
When he comes back, they're just like, oh, she died.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, so here's a theory of mine. Really quickly.
Sure, shoot.
Are Teresa and Victor the brother and sister? Like, or at least one of them? And, like, they could see in the future and the past? Or are the two kids the brother and sister? Somebody are the same people that they're, like, traveling through time, I believe.
Yeah, because there is, like... Again, there's, like, the letter in the beginning. There's these photographs. So there definitely is this comment, at least, on time travel.
Yeah, somebody's traveling through time.
Like, whether they're just supposed to be making parallels or there is actual, like, actors are supposed to be playing the same characters.
But it's very weird.
No, yeah, hey.
But, like, it's funny because I know we seem like we're killing it right now, but it's not really that bad.
No, I wish we could do it more justice, but...
This is for right now the best we can do. Again, if you guys out there have a better way we can see this film, great. Like, thank you for just bearing with us as we tried to walk you through it.
Yeah. I wish you could play you a clip, but you can't get, like, any good Philip Seymour Hoffman lines with the dub.
No, you're just going to hear the dub.
Maybe I'll just play a nice, like, quote of his from, like, an interview at some point, just so we can hear his majestic voice.
Or you could just listen to the intro again.
But the notion of a character actor, right? Do you say, I'm a character actor, I'm proudly so, or do you say... I don't know what that means because I'm an actor and I'll take a big role, a leading role, a small role. I'll just take a role.
Right. I think that, you know, I never saw it as and I hope it's so when you talk about this, you hope you don't sound pretentious. But the fact is that I never saw it as labeled as anything.
Right.
I just came into it because I wanted to act in the theater. And so I ended up in a college and I was studying it with some teachers and I was kind of making up what I would use to create what I wanted to do, and with these teachers, and that's what I did. And what I learned was that these people that I was going to play were not me, and that's the first the thing I had to look at was how were they similar to me and how were they different from me, and I had to cover those bases so I could understand what makes them different and what makes them similar, and therefore I could create this person that's not living my life, it's living someone else's life. And so that's just how I've approached it, and I guess that maybe people call that character acting, but that's just how I approach acting, period.
Just acting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to tie a knot on this, he's great in the film. I mean, but what do you think drew him to the film? I mean, just, it's his first role.
He went to a casting call, and it just happened to be for a film that was going to be shooting in Poland.
I had read something, and I kind of...
It's crazy that they're doing a casting call in New York.
So this is another theory I have. It's more just a behind-the-scenes theory. I think this guy was a Polish film director, but who wanted this to be an American film.
Okay.
Where he's like, I'm going to make an American movie, and I'm going to make it, you know, big. Sure. Because, or at least an English-speaking movie. Because, again, why, if you're doing a Polish film, are you people speaking in English?
Yeah.
Unless you do this. Why are you casting in New York?
Mm-hmm.
And it just couldn't get a distributor in the United States, so he said, okay, you know, I'll just release it in Poland a couple of years later. And,
yeah, it shows
and
that, in a festival.
And that's what he did. I had read something, and it wasn't corroborated anywhere else, and I was afraid of mentioning it. But I will anyway, but just please take it with a grain of salt. It said, like, in one source, that Philip Seymour Hoffman was not too happy with this film or how it turned out. I don't know if I exactly buy that. Like, maybe he's too, like, harsh of a critic. Unless he was treated poorly on set or something.
Yeah, maybe from that standpoint, but I don't think, like, I just can't imagine a young guy on his first or second film having that much to say about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, that's...
Yeah. Has to be rolling around in the hay with a naked girl.
Yeah, exactly. She was pretty. I mean, like, he's a young guy, she's a young girl, and she ended up being quite the talented actress in Poland, I'm told.
Go.
So, I mean, this is the last film, thankfully, we'll see like this.
Yeah.
Every other film... This before... Before we did this podcast, we discussed the two hardest films to get were going to be Joey Breaker and this one.
Mm-hmm.
We've completed these two. We've seen them. I mean, what are your final thoughts on Schuller?
Again, I think it's a film that... I wish we could give you guys more, but that's because I want more. I saw some legitimate merit to the film, from acting to the story, and I wish I could fully get it in number one, just, you know, like, hear it in its English spokenness, and then in its full length entirety. Then on top of that, I think it would be a film, if I got that my first time, then I would have rewatched it a second time, possibly just to get the plot, or also because I got it, and from what I saw, I love any film. We've definitely talked about this before, not on the podcast, but we love any of those, like, dramatic films out there that add the one sci-fi element to it.
Yeah,
a perfect example: Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Not that this is nearly
or anything like it,
like it, or like on the same level, but that's just like an example of one of those films that just gives, like, it's our normal world, and there's one different thing about it. So this, I think, would obviously be that piece of, like, thing, you know, let's just call it, you know, projector, you know, camera thing. And on top of that, then you have this symbolism or literal, you know, like, ages of characters, of the same character.
I think that is our biggest issue here. That, like, the crux of this film,
yeah,
and what this invention means, that both of us saw this independently and we don't understand.
I don't want this film to be lost in time. I would love to make this, like, I wish this was, like, something. I mean, obviously I can do it, you know, we're doing this on our own time, but this is something, like, I want to write, like, a college thesis paper.
Do it. Just another thing I want to touch on, like, these settings are very beautiful, these, mm-hmm, like, Polish castles. This is, again, it's not a genre that I don't really dive into, mm-hmm, but it was still, like, it wasn't terrible of a film. It's just a shame that we couldn't. So this falls at victim into one of these things that we described with Triple Bogey, where a lot of the films, well, films now, I know you do it, where there's so much background on the film, we just read the scholarship in terms of before a film comes out, after it comes out. Even reading,
I don't do research on films ever.
No, but the just reading the summaries and stuff, it also helps you watch the film.
Yeah, for sure.
Even like we've had films here, and we'll read Wikipedia article, and something might click even in the background, and that'll help you go along with it. At this time, you could not do that. Like, this is just a little bit before the internet was like kind of around, you know.
No, it's it's...
But especially now, there's just no scholarship on this film. So we could have maybe even missed by a mile describing this. Some Polish guy might have been like, I saw that film. You guys, nothing about like that, what you're saying. Like, you guys are completely off.
Well, then please, sir or madam, come forward.
Yes, please come forward. Show yourself. We won't cheat you, we promise.
We won't shuler you.
Yeah. Yes, we won't shuler you.
Shuler.
Maybe we should play a clip of just this guy's voice so people get it.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that for you right now, okay? Just after everything.
Sure, Schuler.
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 Schuler. Schuler.
Basically. So, period piece, right? I don't know what else to say.
Well, we got a period piece next week.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The Yearling.
Yes, it's... the Yearling, and not the original Yearling.
No, there was actually...
Unfortunately, there was
no
camera device to bring Philip Seymour Hoffman back in time to do that film.
Gregory Peck was in that one.
Yes, Gregory Peck was in that one. This one has Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, it's like the...
It's set at a little different time.
Louisiana?
No, it's Florida.
Sorry, Florida.
It's like in the Florida swamps, and this one's set, I think, in the 20s.
Yeah, versus the originals, like, post-Civil War.
Yeah, post-Civil War. And I'm super excited to talk about that one.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to add for Schuler, or just this week? No contest this week, but we'll promise we're going to bring you one next one. We've been talking about it, and we're excited about the next one.
I just want to say thanks for listening. This might have been a tough one to get through, but...
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully we shed some kind of light on Schuler. And just follow us. We've been seeing... We appreciate all your likes. We'd love to start getting some comments from you people. We see a couple of, won't say it by name, but you listen to every episode and been liking everything. And
yeah,
we appreciate
thanks for the feedback that has been coming in.
Yeah, just give us more. We're greedy.
Yeah, we are greedy. We're arrogant people.
Yeah,
we
don't Schuler us.
Don't Schuler us. Don't be cheap. You know, we want to hear it.
Yeah.
We want again. We do this for us, but we also do it for you. And thank you every week for tuning in.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, see you guys next week.
Yep. Bye now. Where did you come from, baby? How did you know I needed you? How did you know I needed you so badly? How did you know I'd give my heart gladly? Yesterday, I was one of the lonely people. Now you're lying close to me, making love to me. Sex a thing, you. I believe in miracles.